Boner, boner, boner. I got to think of a boner. I had one earlier.
Welcome to Geeks Without God with Tim Wick, Nick Glover, and Molly Glover.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
This week on Geeks Without God, it is time for another Geeky Boner episode. Molly's super excited about animals, Nick is excited about games, and Tim's excited about a bunch of stuff.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Welcome to Geeks Without God. I'm your host, Tim Wick. I am joined, as always, by my co-host, Molly Glover.
That's me, Molly Glover.
Yes, it is. And Nick Glover.
Also present.
Yes, we are all present, and it is time, once again, for a Geeky Boner episode.
Boing.
Clank.
That's right. It is. It is. We are ready to go. We are ready to go. We are.
Yeah.
We are turgid with excitement.
All my blood is down in my dick. I got no blood.
All my blood is down in your dick too.
Yeah.
And of course, we are turgid with excitement to make numerous dick jokes.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, we're telling you about what's got us excited in a geeky manner right now, but
indeed,
also dick jokes.
Yeah.
So, Molly,
yes.
Speaking of dick jokes and what's got you excited, what is your boner?
So, my boner right now is a boner of mystery.
Boner of mystery.
In 2019, we're going to get a new Animal Crossing game for the Switch.
Ooh.
And I can't stop being excited about it. Like, there's been a lot of speculation.
I don't know anything about it.
I know. I'm on the Animal Crossing subreddit a lot. Like,
I bet you're going to collect flowers.
Right? There's all this stuff that everyone's like, okay, there's going to be these things, right? There'll be fishing.
There'll be bug collecting.
There will be fossils. There will be animals in your village that live with you. Like, there's going to be all that stuff. You'll have furniture in your own home. But the question, there's been some big differences from game to game. Especially when they make a new main console game versus like the handheld consoles game. So the big console games we've had, the very first one that came out was the basic one.
Cube.
Then we had the one that came out for the 64. Or no, the GameCube was the
first one.
And then the Wii. When it came out for the Wii, it was they introduced.
I played the shit out of the one on the Wii.
Yeah, the one on the Wii was City Folk, and that introduced like the new like the city-esque idea that you went to these other shops, and so it didn't. I loved it. I played it a lot. I actually made
my biggest problem with it was I had to play it every day.
Yeah,
I wanted to be able to come back like every week or something
and that's how Animal Crossing always is. It's always going to be that way. If you really want to get the most out of it, you have to play it every day.
But I mean, you had to play it every day, or your flowers would die.
That's how every Animal Crossing game has been.
That's my biggest frustration with Animal Crossing.
One thing that they changed that was great with that, Tim, was when they moved to New Leaf, which is the current one that you play on the Game Boy.
On the DS.
On the 3DS. When they moved to New Leaf, they made this thing where you have, you're the mayor, and so you can make proclamations. And one of the, I can't remember what they're actually called, but one of the proclamations or initiatives, you can set your city initiative to a beautiful town initiative where flowers never die.
Oh.
So that you don't have to worry about it anymore. But you can also set to other ones that do other things for you. But most people use the beautiful town because it makes your hybrids never die, and you don't have to worry about that. But so there's a lot to talk about what it's going to be, and with the Switch, because it's both console, like mobile, and in your home console, which is the first time we've had something like this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of really cool design space for what they could be doing with it, and I don't know. I've had some thoughts of what they might do. Like, we're also like, they could introduce new animal types. Historically, whenever there's been a new Animal Crossing game, they've brought in not just new characters within the animal types, but they brought in like a new type, like
an octopus.
We have octopus, or like now we have like, oh, there's, instead of just, you know, there's a lot of cats and a lot of dogs and a lot of wolves, and now we have like, there's, you know, more birds, more different types of birds. Now there's eagles and songbirds and, you know, other things. There's usually a new roving character. Like they have Sahara, the camel who sells wallpaper and floors. Katrina, the fortune telling cat. Gulliver, the pelican that comes around and is a sailor. There's always new iterations on that, and it's just I'm so excited.
Well, in the last DS game, which is the most recent actual crossing game other than that mobile thing. It was the tropical island you could go to with friends do activities,
and you could spend time on the island. It's some really cool stuff that could come out.
When is it scheduled to come out?
It's just 2019, and it's really frustrating because
that's like Star Wars Galaxy's Edge and fucking Disney World.
So
2019,
Nintendo,
fuck you.
Nintendo just released. They released a whole bunch of dates for things, and not Animal Crossing.
Yeah.
So we still don't know Animal Crossing.
Motherfuckers.
Just like how Netflix recently released, it was like, here are all of the Netflix shows that are premiering in 2019. Here they are. Oh, not Black Mirror. We don't know when that's coming out yet. Still just 2019.
Yeah.
So it's like these things, I feel like everything I'm waiting for doesn't have a release date yet. But Animal Crossing, I'm very excited. Looking forward to whatever it's going to be. I've never hated an Animal Crossing game. Pocket Camp, which I don't like anymore. At first I liked it. It was just that they started doing what mobile games do. It's the reason I stopped playing Emoji Blitz. When every day is an event, nothing is special. If it's always an event going on, it's never just the game, and that sucks. The events no longer are.
That's what I love about Emoji Blitz.
I fucking hate it.
I love that it's always an event.
It just fucking sucks. Like, so I that is the one thing I hated. The only reason I haven't deleted Pocket Camp yet is I'm concerned there might be something where there's crossover between them.
Yeah.
And until the Switch game comes out and I can verify there isn't anything to do with Pocket Camp that gives you a boon, then
Pocket
I'm not.
Pocket Camp ties to your Nintendo account, and you can earn Nintendo account coins and stuff.
That must
by
be
playing.
New. That must be
so,
new.
So, that was when it first came out.
Okay, because I'll have to check into that. Maybe I'll play it again and just not do their nonsense.
Just like
jumping.
The Mario Run is the same thing. Yeah.
So that's my boner. It is. I'm hard for animals.
Yes.
Cartoon animals who interact with my child self
and talk gibberish.
Yeah. It's the gibberish that gets me the hardest.
All right, Nick.
Yeah.
What has you erect?
So, I'm really looking forward to Umbrella Academy coming out this next week, but I think what has me most consumed in terms of boners is I bought a PlayStation 4.
Consume boner.
I bought a PlayStation 4 to play Spider-Man, right?
Okay.
And now that I have one, it's like, okay, so what PlayStation 4 exclusive games are there that I've missed out on that I should catch up on? And a lot of people were saying Horizon Zero Dawn.
Okay.
And I'm really glad I listened because it's super fun. I just beat the game. I'm kind of waiting to get into some of the DLC stuff a little bit because it doesn't seem huge or very important to do right away, but I'll get back to it. So, like, maybe 1,000 years in the future, maybe, like, a couple thousand years in the future. I think it's maybe one, but whatever. Nebulous future. People are living kind of nomadic, tribal, let's say like Iron Age, maybe Bronze Age style.
Okay.
Right? Wild machines roam the countryside like animals. Like, there are ones that are clearly like horses. There are ones that are like little raptor guys. There are ones that are these animals, these robots are a part of the ecology somehow. There are ruins of a very modern world, but most of those ruins are way fucking gone. And you play this woman who is voiced by Ashley Birch of Hey Ash, What You Playin' or Life is Strange.
Or Borderlands?
Borderlands, yep.
Tiny Tina. Yeah.
Yep. And she co-wrote, I think, the second one with her brother.
Yeah.
So she's one of my favorite voice actors, and I just love Ashley Birch. And so it was a pleasure to have her as the protagonist voice. But it's a third-person survival crafting, like somewhere between, I want to say, like, Monster Hunter and Assassin's Creed, and there's stealth elements, there's setting up traps to some of the robots that you're hunting for their parts to build new equipment, like you're scavenging off them and stuff. Some of them are fucking huge, like enormous construction equipment, like they dwarf that shit. And like, you have
four stories.
Yeah, and they will trample you and throw you around, and they're way more powerful than you. Even really, really weak robots can fuck your shit up if you're not careful or if they catch you off guard.
Like that Roomba that bit me.
Just like that, Molly. Just like that. So so you have skill trees, and you can eventually, you can start to sneak up on robots and like reprogram them to be a mount or a fight on your side and stuff.
Can you fuck the robots?
You can't fuck the robots.
God damn.
I know. That's why I had to recommend
it to you. So the boner
is
useless right now.
I know, right? It's just getting in the way.
And Lance Riddick from The Wire and what was that show where there were
Fringe.
Two? Fringe. Yeah, Fringe. Yeah, he plays.
And he's in corporate.
Yes, he
Comedy
is great in corporate. He plays an important character in the story that comes into place later. There's, as you expand out into the rest of the world, like there's some wild shit happening there. And it's very, very fun story. The mystery of how the apocalypse happened, why all these robots are here, what happened to all the technology and all that, unfolds very slowly throughout the game. And every once in a while you'll hit a little story part that's like, oh shit, oh damn, that's how that happened. But that leads to more questions, and those don't get answered until you progress further in the story. Like, they do a really, really good job of unveiling what happened in the apocalypse, and I think you can piece together a lot of what happened, but you really don't know the nitty-gritty of why you're in this particular bad situation in the world until like the very fucking end of the game. Even though you know so much about the apocalypse up until that point, like the reasons behind it, you don't find out until later.
That's kind of like The Division, right? Like, wasn't that a big part of it? Like, part of The Division was uncovering how
so
things
much
went wrong.
So much of The Division isn't about the single-player story campaign.
It's a multiplayer
shoot and loot grind.
Right.
This is a very much a single-player experience and cool. A very beautiful world. A very great story. There's a couple things that make me a little like, I don't know how to feel about this, because like your character and her tribe are mostly like pretty white. Like there's a couple of people of color in her tribe, but like they're mostly kind of white. She's like white with freckles and red hair, the protagonist. And like the way they're living and the way they talk and the way they hunt is definitely feels really inspired by like Native American culture. So I could understand if someone was nervous or like trepidatious about this game doesn't really address any of that. And like, maybe I guess like it's a logical conclusion to come to after an apocalypse as people rebuild up. And I don't know if they're taking any cultural elements really, but like it kind of seems inspired by in a way that makes me a little nervous.
Okay.
And so, and I tried to like Google around and look around a little bit about it, and I couldn't find anything super compelling, but like they can only go up from that at this point.
Right.
And they definitely have it set up for a sequel or for more in this world. Like I'm really looking forward to, because like this is the first game in a new franchise potentially. It's a AAA title.
Yeah.
The gameplay is fucking excellent. The story and voice acting and graphics and all that are really, really great. And like from here they can go up potentially and do more.
Yeah.
And what's the name of the game again?
Horizon Zero Dawn. And
is
like
it PlayStation 4 only?
PlayStation 4 only.
Nice.
You can do stealth. You can just charge in. You can shoot traps down on the ground. And they're like this. There's this huge fucking bird robot, the Thunderbirds, that will just lay down. They'll just carpet bomb an entire area with electricity that will like stun you and stuff. So you have to like switch over to your rope gun and start shooting rope harpoons into these birds to like bring them down to the ground. And once you get them down close enough to you, you realize that like the wingspan of this bird is like 150 feet. And like you can't just run up and crush it with your spear. You have to like try to land it down into some traps and then like start it on fire. Or there's a lot of the game is about like scanning these robots and looking at their weaknesses and what the different parts on them do. And you're like, oh, if I wait until that robot goes back over to the herd and gets closer and I shoot that one energy core with a fire arrow, I can make its gas tank explode and set all the things around it on fire.
Cool. That's cool.
And then I'll set up all these traps so that when they flee, they run through these traps and I'll get electrocuted and I can run up and coup de grace them. Like,
coup de grace.
If you just run in, like, you're going to have a bad time. Cool. And yeah.
That sounds really cool.
I really loved it. It's super fun.
How long was the gameplay on that?
Oh, I was kind of playing on breaks and stuff and like before and after work here and there. I want to say like 30 to 40 hours, but I still have a lot left I could do.
Okay.
Like there's a lot of side missions and stuff. And when you beat the game, it puts you back to right before you beat the game. And then it says, like, go do the DLC and come back and beat the game again. Go do all the side missions. Yeah. It might change your ending.
So,
and then there's New Game Plus, where you can start over the game with all your equipment and all your skills and play the game harder and try to accomplish all the same stuff.
That's awesome. Sounds like a good boner.
It was very,
very, very big boner. Yeah.
Tim. Yeah. What's your boner looking like these days?
You know, I've got a couple of small boners. So,
two.
Which, you know, I mean, that's pretty much it for me. Small boners is the way it goes.
Are they side by side or are they top and bottom?
They are side by side.
Nice.
First, I just want to say the trailers for the new trailers that have come out for MCU titles have got me pretty excited. The new Spider-Man trailer.
Captain Marvel.
Yeah, Captain Marvel looks really, and I know there have been some concerns about the production and whatever. I don't care. I want to see Captain Marvel.
Yeah.
Spider-Man, fucking Mysterio Man.
Oh.
Is a great Spider-Man villain.
Oh.
So good. I hope they do Mysterio right because
he looks right.
Yeah.
He looks right. And just watching the trailer, I'm like, that looks like if you've read, I have read all the way back to the beginning of the Spider-Man run and like the introduction of Mysterio and that the who Mysterio is and
fucking con man.
And it looks like that's who Mysterio is in this movie. I hope that's true.
Do you mind if I jump on your boner real quick?
Yeah, jump on my boner.
So
the dream is happening, everyone.
So Mysterio's costume, right? So first and foremost, I wanted the fucking fishbowl. And they got the fishbowl.
Yeah.
Second, he's got that big purple cape with the two lapel pins that look like the pyramid eye on his like clavicles. Mm-hmm. He's wearing the big, like, they look like Iron Lantern gauntlets, like these goofy fucking like nonsense gauntlets. And then even down to the body of his costume being that kind of uniquely quilted effect that they did for a lot of Spider-Man villains, like Shocker.
Yeah.
Like, he's got that quilted effect on his bodysuit, too. Like, he is probably the most comic booky villain in the MCU.
So far. I mean, does, just from that one, you know, you only get, like, one shot of Mysterio.
It's so perfect.
Like, yeah.
If you know Mysterio, you're like, fucking Mysterio, man! Awesome!
Yeah.
The Infinity War trailer is super short.
Yeah.
The Endgame trailer is super short.
I think they're still just teasers.
Doesn't tell you a lot, but it's still like
it's great.
It's looking really cool, really dark.
Yeah.
So that excites me. And then the other boner that I have, we just went to Disney World again. Whatever. But Star Wars Galaxy's Edge at Hollywood Studios.
Oh yeah.
You're seeing a lot more of the construction.
Yeah.
You can
yeah.
see a lot more of it. And what actually got me super excited was we went to Toy Story Land, which is the newest land that they have in Hollywood Studios. And the way they put that land together and the look of
it. So excited to see it.
Is so beautiful and so well done and so immersive. And you know that's what Galaxy's Edge is going to be like for Star Wars.
We're going back next year when everything should be open, and we are so excited.
Is Toy Story Land put together as if you are toy size?
Yes.
Awesome.
Yeah. So you're put together as if you're toy size. Like all the nighttime lighting are like these Christmas tree lights that are strung up around the whole area.
Yeah.
There's the Slinky Dog roller coaster.
Yeah.
which like goes around and like there's one place where all the toys are on this big old stack of Jenga blocks.
Uh-huh.
And it looks really cool. The coaster, it's like, it's not a loop-the-loop coaster. It's not like a kick-ass, you know, Hulk coaster.
You don't have to be hard.
It's like
that.
Space Mountain.
It's more like Big Thunder Mountain.
Oh, okay.
Sure.
But maybe
traditional roller coaster.
Yeah. You know, so it was good. It was a good
awesome.
Coaster. I thought it was going to be shorter
than it
ended up being. It looks like it does, but it doesn't.
Okay.
But what they do is
they couldn't figure. I mean, I don't know if you can figure out the physics of a slinky roller coaster.
They probably couldn't.
Safely.
The physics would not have worked. Yeah. I
not
think.
With such a variety and size and weight
right?
in the different
yeah.
cabs.
Yeah, there's no way. There's no
I
way.
Think, but
an
what
empty
they do,
cab could screw up the whole thing.
What they
right?
do is they have slinky sound effects through the whole ride.
That's cool.
So it sounds like you're on a slinky kind of
cool.
as it's going.
I'm excited to go back. Like we were just talking about that. I think we're going to buy our Disney tickets and start buying our, like, making our reservations and all that stuff and doing that now.
For 2020.
Because why not? Like, there's, even though
if you're staying on site, there's a 60-day window for fast passes.
Yep.
That is... You after the first day.
We'll be doing that.
Get your fast pass for Slinky Dog.
But I think for hotels and all that stuff, it's like, why not just do it now? And then we can.
Star Wars will be up by the time we go back. So.
Yeah, and that's gonna be a
incredible.
Long ass wait.
Did you read how long the Millennium Falcon ride is supposed to be?
No,
it's good. The ride is 38 minutes, Tim.
What?
Yeah, I think it's gonna
fucking
be. I think it's gonna be a thing like how like Star Tours or like Spaceship Earth, like one of those things where it's really a really long ride.
Yeah.
Like yeah.
That would be fucking amazing.
There's something like 20 different bays, 20 different Millennium Falcon cockpits that you can get in.
So you can have all the different because they've had so many different cockpits now for Falcon. Like there's been
and
like,
it's like 4 to 6 people can be in at a time, and everyone has something to do. In the cockpit to accomplish the mission.
Isn't that great?
But that's going to be such a long wait.
Oh, yeah.
If it's a 38 minute ride.
That's going to be like my very first fast pass choice.
If they've got 20 bays and there's only like 6 people per bay.
Yep.
Oh,
I might have that wrong. I remember it being like 30 something.
I thought it was
30
something minutes.
Yeah.
Or at least, or maybe it was 28 and it was close to 30, but it's a long
time. I'm excited for the rise that they're building there. I'm excited just for the little bit that you can see because it's now gotten tall enough that you can see it over some of the fences. And it looks really nice.
That's awesome. Good boner.
Yeah. It's a really super good boner.
So we have 5 questions, guys.
Do we have 5 questions?
We do. We have 5 questions from Adrian Pastin, a mathematician from Argentina.
Mathematician.
Awesome.
You might remember that Adrian wrote in before and told us his favorite sandwich. I think his.
Oh.
Their favorite sandwich.
Their favorite
I don't know
sandwich.
For sure. Because Adrian seems to me that it could be a name that is gender neutral.
It could be.
I will say they.
They sounds good.
So they asked us 5 questions.
Oh, well, let's hear them.
Their first question. You get to choose a person and ask them 3 questions on live TV, and they are forced to answer the questions truthfully. Who do you choose?
Well, I mean, are we all going to say Donald Trump, or is one of us going to use
that? I think just one of us
can
go.
I was not going to say it, and I'll tell you why.
I was, but
because I don't think that he intentionally lies.
Oh, but it won't matter. He'll have to say. He has to say
it's
the
truth.
It's
the lasso of truth.
It's lasso of truth.
So he has to
not
say what's
what he
the
thinks
actual
is the truth,
not
the
what he
actual
thinks
factual
is the,
right. truth. Yeah.
Okay,
so who do you go with?
I just said I wasn't going to say Donald Trump.
I know.
Trump.
So is someone going to say Donald Trump?
All right, I'll say Donald Trump.
Yeah,
and then at least one of the questions will be. What's the most illegal thing you've done and how do we prove it?
Yeah. nice. I mean,
if it had to be 2 questions, if they wouldn't allow that as 1 question.
Right.
Yeah.
You get, that's still 2 really
right.
good questions.
And then like, how would you describe your physical body in the least appealing way possible? I don't know.
Since I'm not going to go with I think I would go with Kevin Spacey right now.
Ooh.
I would like, because I really like Anthony Rapp.
Yeah.
And I find him to be a good actor and a great person. I've been a fan of his since 1996 when I saw him in Rent, originating the role of Mark on Broadway. And he is a good dude who does not deserve all the shit he's been getting.
Yeah.
As people call him a liar. People say he ruined Kevin Spacey's career. He gets shit constantly
people
all
say
day
he
long.
Ruined Star Trek.
Hate threats.
Kevin
death
Spacey
threats.
Ruined Kevin
exactly.
Spacey's
yeah.
career.
So what I want is I would Kevin Spacey live TV. Answer the questions, and that's what I would do. Ruin. I want it over. I want it done. I want it like legitimately ever. No one can say that wasn't true anymore. It's done.
All right. So live TV. That's the tricky part, but I still think I'd do it. And I'm not saying I know the questions yet, but I'm going with a different Kevin.
All right.
Mm. I'm going with Kevin Feige.
Yeah.
Oh.
Because I want to know some shit that's going down in the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Oh, all right. You want to ruin it for everybody.
I want to spoil it for everybody. except it's live TV. You don't have to tune in. You don't have to watch.
You know, if I changed mine, I think we could put Vladimir Putin up to the question.
Ooh.
And maybe we could get like a bunch more things accomplished
by asking
the question, how thoroughly was our government compromised?
Yeah.
And
like
who
that.
Is in your pocket?
I like that.
Yeah.
All right, question two. What is the geekiest fruit?
The geekiest fruit?
My answer is durian. Because the only people I've ever seen attempt to eat durian or talk about durian or try to tell me durian doesn't smell like it's dying are geeks who are like otaku geeks. And so that to me, durian is the geeky, or lychee.
I was going to say lychee because of...
Of anime kids?
Anime kids importing Asian candy.
Yep.
And lychee flavors.
All right. Tim, what do you think? What's the geekiest fruit?
For me, it's mango.
Sure.
Just because... It sounds geeky.
Lots of geeks eat mango, too.
I mean, lots of geeks dig mangoes.
It's good for you, and that's a very geeky thing.
All
right, question three. You get to write a remake of the Bible. You cannot change the gist of the book, but you can change the gender of two non-Jesus characters. Which two non-Jesus characters do you choose, and you change their gender? And I'm not going to say switch gender. You change it, whatever you want to change it to.
God and Paul the Apostle.
Interesting. Ooh, and what do you change them to? Female or non-binary?
I change God to very specifically non-binary.
Nice.
I want God explicitly stated to be non-gendered.
Agender.
And then Paul the Apostle being a woman, I think the Catholic Church would be a radically different
That is true.
Tim, do you have thoughts? You want me to go?
I know one of them would be Moses.
I also was going to say Moses.
I would change Moses to a woman because in the Bible, in terms of the most influential non-Jesus character, non-God character, is Moses. And if you make Moses a woman, you change...
A lot.
I mean, a ton. A ton.
Yeah. Do you have your other one?
I really like the Paul one. I do.
Yeah.
But I want to change Mary Magdalene
you
to a man.
You picked my two answers.
I want to change Mary Magdalene to a man. So
agreed.
Fine. If Jesus is going to be a man, he's going to be gay, motherfuckers.
Yeah, word. That's a good answer.
Word.
Yeah.
Those
or
are my
least,
two. Literally, Tim. Those are my two answers. That's amazing.
At least not straight.
At least not straight.
The exact two I chose. So I'll go with my backups. King David.
All right.
I think if King David were a woman and it was a matriarchal lineage, a queen.
That would make a big difference.
Yep.
Yeah.
And so I would King David. And then I would also choose. I want to say Judas, but then that just makes it like
a
weird
Eve. That's the same problem.
Like
with
she's
Eve.
Attempting,
yeah,
probably,
like,
yeah.
Like the women are always the bad.
You know what? There, I'll change Eve.
Oh,
and I'm gonna make Eve non-binary, but femme present, male presenting non-binary.
So here's a interesting option to pick. If Abraham was changed to a woman. All three of the Abrahamic religions would be affected by that
change. That's true.
So that is a change that would flow over into Judaism and Islam as well.
That's a good choice. You could also go with, so in the Bible, the story of Ruth is how the whole Handmaid's Tale happens, right?
Oh.
Because Ruth can't bear children, so they lay with, I think it's Rachel or whatever, and like, what if it was, instead, if it was the woman who couldn't bear children, it was the man who couldn't get the children.
Ew.
And because of that, it became like that the whole, you know, having a surrogate or whatever wasn't a woman's fault. Like, there's a lot of things where it's like, because
some
she was, something like that. All right, that's good, that's good.
Question four,
what is the most godless musical instrument?
The hurdy-gurdy.
The hurdy-gurdy?
Yeah.
All right, Tim?
Everything about it. It's like mechanical. It's like Or the player piano.
It makes something a weird, a player piano is a good choice.
Something that's kind of automated and spooky.
Yeah, a little supernatural.
Something that definitely invokes like the modern age of technology a little bit. Like at least.
Yeah, player pianos are always in haunted houses, right?
Yeah.
So that's good.
Right?
Yeah.
I'm going to go with the bagpipe.
Bagpipe? Oh,
yeah. Because that is the kind of, it looks like a strange sexual implement.
It does.
And it sounds like the banshee scream.
The sound it makes, it's like there's no way that a divine being could have been like, let's create this instrument, because the divine being would be like, this sounds like shit.
Also,
I'm going to destroy it.
No matter what. Even hymns, when played on the bagpipes, do not sound like godly music.
Amazing grace.
There's never been a funeral with a bagpipe that made you feel really like, oh my God, this is a super sad moment.
Also,
I mean, those bagpipes are like,
God is here with us. I can hear it in the bagpipe.
God has left the building.
Every song played on the bagpipes has to start with, and then the song
because you gotta squeeze the bladder.
Therefore,
the
it can never
you know
be
what that
beautiful.
Is?
Yeah.
So you know how like garbage trucks and stuff start beeping when you put them in reverse to give you enough time to get out of the way? That's what that is with bagpipes. When you hear that flat tone of the inflating the bladder, that's your warning. The bagpipe's about to start.
Whenever I hear it, my immediate thought is, well, no more notes. I guess we're just done.
All right, Molly. All right,
so I think the most godless musical instrument is the harmonica.
Good choice.
Because it's like the at its best, right? It's like for like blues music or like really like really
for like
railing
folk
against
music with Bob Dylan,
right?
Yeah. And something you trade your soul at a crossroads to get good at.
Exactly, it's a devil's instrument, like
totally.
A fiddle, right? Like
yeah.
it's supposed to be played hot and nasty and fast. You don't play like slow
plus you're
ballads
slobbering
on
your
harmonica.
Mouth all
yeah.
over it.
You're
like
not playing slow ballads on a harmonica. Like it's just not. An accordion's an easy answer, but I think the harmonica is a much more visceral instrument.
Yeah. Well, and I thought about the accordion, but then I went with bagpipe.
All right.
Harmonica is definitely an instrument that you can simulate oral sex while playing.
Yeah. Now,
in a variety of ways.
Yeah.
Speaking of boners.
Question number 5. What is your favorite mythical creature?
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
It's a nice one. Your favorite mythical creature.
I like a lot of mythical.
I do too.
I like dragons.
Yeah.
I like dragons. I like writing about dragons. I like doing weird. Dragons are awesome.
I'm going mermaids because I have always been obsessed with mermaids and really ever since I was obsessed with Atlantis. Like, I just want there to be underwater fish people so fucking bad. Like, I don't even care if they're fish on top. I want there to be mermaids. I think it's so cool. Sirens. Right. Any variety of mermaids. Sirens. Underwater
fish people.
Yeah, singing the sailors to their deaths on the rocks. Like, that's dope.
Come on in, boys.
Right? Like, I'm beautiful. Have sex with me. Fuck you. You're on the rocks now. Yeah. Like,
do y'all know about Kappa? The Japanese?
Oh, yeah. Of course I do. I play Animal Crossing.
Turtle beak guys. Like, I feel like they are used so whimsically, yet when you know about them, they're like any folklore. They're actually, like, super dark and weird.
Yeah. Yeah.
But they're, like, beaked turtle men that have a bald spot up on the top of their head that is a dish that they hold water in. And if you can trick them into, like, bowing or spilling the water from their dish, you can, like, weaken them or defeat them and make them run. But they love to eat cucumbers, and they live in, like, streams and springs. And also, they kill you by sucking organs out of your anus. Like they're super whimsical and also incredibly dark, and they look really cool, and they're very uniquely kind of Japanese.
See your answer. That's better. I just want to ride a dragon and have it set shit on fire.
See, that would be great. Dracarys, right? Like, you want to be Daenerys.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would love... So the thing is, a kappa is, in Animal Crossing, the turtle that takes you back and forth to the island, the sailor turtle. He is a kappa. His name is Kappa. And it's very
amazing. They don't even make it. They don't even pretend.
No. It's like, great. It's great. Awesome. All right. That was Adrienne's questions.
Like streams and rivers where they want to warn kids to stay away from, they use the kappa as like a don't swim here. It's dangerous.
That's adorable.
So I'm just going to say that was the penultimate five questions. We have two left. So we are running short. So send us your five questions. Any questions, we will answer them.
No question too small.
No question too big.
It could be, what's your favorite color? Or do you like turtles? Or
And I'm not even going to answer my favorite color right now. I'm going to save that for when somebody asks it.
Ask it.
If you've asked us five questions, ask us a different five questions.
Yeah, personal questions, big questions, philosophical questions, silly questions.
We'll answer it. Just please do. And also keep in mind that if you're a Patreon supporter, we'll bump your questions to the top of the queue. Now that that's much earlier than anybody else's right now, but it's still a bonus. You also get to listen to this episode early simply by supporting us at the $2 level. So we mentioned that at the end of every episode. If this is your first episode, plan on hearing it a whole lot more. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you've heard it many times already. So thanks for listening. We will be back next week with more Geeks Without God.
Bye.
Bye.
Some people move on, but not us.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks without God.
Until next time, you can find us blogging at geekswithoutgod.com. You can follow us on Twitter at geekswithoutgod, and you can even like us on Facebook.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God.
Now that I understand where that comes from.